This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Set me free. Of the chains holding me.
Is anybody out there hearing me? Set me free.
Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here, and welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us on this mission field called Life. And Merry Christmas. And this time of the year, from about the middle of December all the way through the end of January, we typically see an increase in people reaching out for help for issues with porn addiction, sexual sin, adultery, the things that we help people with. And there's a number of reasons for that. One is that the enemy does not take Christmas off. He comes to people when they're vulnerable. And for some, this time of the year, when they see the smiles on everybody else's face, it's like rubbing salt in a wound, especially if they're unresolved family issues or unresolved wounds from the past. Those wounds can tend to flare up this time of the year. Some of you are going to have great times with your family on Christmas Day, and others of you are going to be cringing and want to go hide in a corner when you get together with your family. And I don't say this to be mean, but I say this because I want to reach out to those who are hurting, and I know there are going to be many of you that are in that place. And the enemy knows how to poke and provoke and attack with depression or anxiety or hopelessness or fear. And if you're not aware of the intense spiritual battle going on, along with these other issues of the heart wounds or whatever else might be there, it can be a very discouraging time. And then, you know, right after Christmas, there's a big crash for a lot of people because there's a letdown, and now all the peace on earth and goodwill toward men and the lights and all those things are going to go away. And now we got several months of cold winter in front of us, tax season and all that goes along with that. So it can be a big crash. And that can be why we can tend to see an increase in people looking for help, because when we're going through some pain or some discomfort or suffering, what will happen is we will go to our default for comfort. And if that default is some kind of sin, or if it's pornography, or if it's eating, or if it's gluttony, or if it's spending money, because you know, after January 1st, those credit card bills are going to start rolling in. We can fall into a hole of discouragement, and those things, we can wrap ourselves around those things. So do not just sit there and get your butt kicked. Reach out for help, whether it's with us or a good friend, but do not sit there in isolation and wallow in the mud. And isolation is a huge problem in the church today. And when I go and speak, I'll ask people to raise their hand if they meet with another brother or sister once a week for the purpose of prayer, support, encouragement, accountability. Usually only 15 to 20% put their hands up. And this is one reason why believers are so prone and vulnerable to falling into different types of sins, because isolated believers are easily picked off. And so I'm going to get to my guests now. And last week I had Sean Janung and Rebecca Janung with me, and they're here back with me again. Sean is my 30-year-old son, and Rebecca is my 22-year-old daughter. And one of the things that really concerns me in an urgent manner is how we've been losing youth out the back door like crazy for the last two decades plus. A survey showing that 75% of youth are walking away from the church. And this is a catastrophe. There should be a sense of urgency. We should be asking youth questions like, "What?" and listening, what is missing? What do you need? What are you not being equipped with? And so that's why I'm doing these broadcasts. And so, and they don't know what's coming at them either, the questions I have for them. So, Sean and Becca, welcome back to the program.
Glad to be here.
Thank you for having me back.
So I'm going to read a headline from an article and a piece from it. Youth are spending record time online. Young adults are spending a record 6 hours a day online as TikTok and Snapchat grew in popularity among Gen Z. People aged between 18 and 24 were online for an average of 6 hours and 1 minute per day in 2024, according to a study by media regulator. And this news article came from The Telegraph in the UK. And I will add to that, the average time an American spends on their smartphone in one day is something around 4.5 hours. So this is not a youth-only problem. And the effects of having that much time online are well documented, where they cause depression, anxiety, social isolation, lack of connection. So I'll start with you, Becca. What is going on when kids are spending so much time online?
I think that online you have the whole entire world basically in your hand. You have access to anything and everything. A lot of them might have friends online, so they could be talking to them, but that also goes back to isolation, where it's not connecting in real life, but it could feel like that to them, and that's where the anxiety could come from and feeling depressed. So I think just having everything on one device is very dangerous. And what we're seeing with now with AI and what that can do, it's just going to get worse from here. Mm. So that's also very scary to realize that.
And with 6 hours online, some of that time is going to be spent with pornography and video games too, right?
I'd assume, yes.
And I assume some of those video games are going to have a lot of heavy-duty violence and probably some occult themes.
I don't play much video games, but what I've seen, yes, a lot of vulgar things, I'd just say.
So it's kind of like piping a bunch of garbage into your mind?
I'd say, and a lot of kids are even playing those games. Like, I'd say maybe 8-year-olds even. So it's not just the teenagers and the young adults, it's also kids.
So what's going on so that an 8-year-old can be exposed to that stuff?
I think it's the parents not being aware, not doing what they can do to give them blockers that they can't have full access. And I see whenever we go out to a restaurant, the parent just gives that kid an iPad just to shut them up, kind of. And that's so disappointing to see, because you're just telling them that, here, be quiet, sit there and play your game. Then when they throw a fit because they don't have their iPad and you wonder why, it's just so sad to see.
Mm. So parents are basically checked out? Is that what you're saying?
I would say some or most, yes.
Or have their heads in their phones?
Right. Yeah, that too.
Your take, Sean?
I think, that's a lot of it. It's easier to have your kid be online and not have to be engaged with them, you know, show them how to use a hand tool or change a tire or be engaged with them. It's easier to just give them a device so they can entertain themselves, or might be outsourced. You might have both parents working in the home and they got maybe a babysitter who's doing the same thing, but it's having a hugely negative effect on the children's mind. Social media has been cited as one of the most leading causes of depression lately. So it is crucial that kids get disconnected from technology and spend time outside and build real-life relationships with friends.
So what would that look like? Would that be something in youth group, or how would that happen?
Youth groups would be ideal, so they could spend time with fellow Christians. Even getting outside in the neighborhoods, but getting out in the sun, that would be better than nothing. But just having them sit there for days on end staring at screens is going to have negative physical and psychological effects.
Do you see a lot of your friends having close relationships?
I see most of them having a lot of online relationships through social media, various social media platforms. It just has become a very internet, a world of the internet these days. But I feel like my generation was the last that spent most of the time outside. And then you had things like COVID hit where people were pretty much encouraged to just stay inside and spend all their time online. And we haven't seen a recovery from that at all.
So it's a perception a lot of youth, well, and adults, is that connections and social media is a real relationship? Or what do you really think people have gone that far?
I think it's the ease of it. It's easier to get on a Facebook page than call out your buddy and ask him to get a coffee with you or something. It's easier to go on Twitter than it is to write someone a letter, which has cost us in the long run.
Your thoughts, Becca?
I agree. It is very convenient to be able to just send a text or something. I know a lot of Americans are busy, 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 so it is convenient. It's not a bad thing to be able to reach them that easily, but it's also a balance, I think, that we're missing.
So this article I'm going to read now from The Telegraph in the UK came out right around the same time this first article I read, and here it is. Gen Z is the loneliest generation, and it's only going to get worse. And I'll read from it. Generation Z is the first to grow up with the internet. The internet is at the heart of our lonesome blues. There's no denying it. This isn't to say that we should start wearing tinfoil hats and throw our Wi-Fi routers into the bathtub, but it's important that we understand the source of our problem. Technology gives with one hand and takes with the other. We are incredibly connected through the internet, but that connection is a lonely one. And that piggybacks into what you guys are mentioning now. So what do youth need to know and to hear? What should we be telling youth in our youth groups about this stuff?
Well, the first thing is to get plugged into youth groups. Many youth don't know how to get engaged. So parents need to be having their children have the skills to build relationships and putting them in youth groups and situations where they can build those relationships. And just having real life interactions with people, not spending it all online, because those are very fragile relationships and every mistake you make on social media is permanent. So it can be very isolating.
I agree. And having parents that are there for you is very helpful, I'd say, personally speaking, and also just watching how my friends grew up too. So having, I think, two parents that are engaged as much as they can be, it makes a huge difference. Them teaching them what's right and wrong, them preparing them and giving them those godly standards is very important, and I don't think many parents are doing that these days.
Really?
I don't think so.
Why is that?
Maybe they weren't taught it from their parents and they're carrying on that. They might not know better, or they just don't know how to. They're not interested, or I'm not sure.
Well, I'm assuming some of those parents have been in church for decades too.
Probably.
So something is off.
Right.
So what do you think that might be?
So as we're going back to is we're not being prepared or equipped in the church on how to raise children, godly children. It goes back to that.
I think a lot of it is a huge generational gap. In the early 2000s, social media was a thing that was making people get more and more isolated. Now we have synthetic relationship platforms such as AI girlfriends and AI chatbots and VR porn and with every new advancing technology phase, the previous parents will be more and more disconnected from that. So they don't know how to equip their kids to handle all this, or they probably aren't even aware of it, on where the kids are spending their time.
Mm. I think a lot of parents might assume that, 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old don't really know what's going on in the outside world, and so with pornography or sexual issues or the occult. So what is your take on this? Is youth a lot more sharper than we give them credit for?
100%. That's where it all is starting, or that's where their platform is going to, is the children, little children. And that's very alarming and not being talked about at all. So I think parents need to wake up a little bit and notice that, or take precautions now if you have young ones, and do what you can do best as parents, and don't let them hide them from it, but teach them this is what's going on and give them the resources that they need and the truth in that.
So let's say mom or dad catch their 9-year-old watching porn. What should happen?
Don't go in angry. I know that's probably, or scared. That's probably the first emotion that you're going to feel, but go at it as a loving parent and understanding parent. And because if you go at them angry, then they're going to want to try to hide it then. And you don't want that. You want them to be open and feel comfortable.
Sean?
Yeah, I think you should approach that situation with a lot of grace. Explain to your child that this is wrong. Explain to them why it's wrong and where it could end up leading to if that behavior is continued. But you don't want to come in like a tyrant, or else you're just going to make the situation so much worse, and that kid might shut down and not speak to you later on.
Mm. So you mentioned what it might lead to. What are some of those scenarios that it could lead to?
It could lead to shame, could lead to more isolation, depression. It might lead to that child looking for darker porn categories, because porn doesn't satisfy, and so you need to look for a heavier hit to get that high, as with any drug. So it can send that child on a dark path.
Mm. One survey showed that by the time a young man is, I think, 21, or was it 18, I don't remember, they will have spent 10,000 hours playing video games. What is your take on that?
That's a lot of hours, and it's not healthy, especially in today's age. When I was growing up, I used to play video games on a friend's couch, and there's connection there. But today, everyone's now in their own rooms just talking to each other online. It's very isolating.
And there are any dangers associated with talking to people you don't know online?
Oh, there's plenty of dangers. There's people looking to steal information. There's sexual predators. There's catfishers.
What's a catfisher?
Someone that pretends to date you online in order to gain personal information or credit card information.
Hmm. So what are some other things we should be aware of? I didn't know what a catfisher was until I just asked.
Well, the old adage, don't talk to strangers, kind of holds true. You want to educate your kids on, there's a lot of scary people on the internet. You have to be very careful who you engage with. In fact, you should only talk to people that you could meet in real life within your normal situation. So school, that sort of thing. That would be the best advice for the children being raised, I feel.
So I'm going to ask you both now, what are the top three reasons why you think youth are leaving the church? Sean, you first.
I believe it's because they're not being properly educated. The Bible says one thing. Schools are telling the kids another, that you can be whatever gender you want. You can have whatever sexual identity you want. I think churches have lost the ability to connect with people. Most Sunday services just involve you sing a few songs, you get preached at, you get home, but there's no prayer involved. There's no connection with people. Some churches we'll have you talk to the person next to you for a couple minutes, but that's not – 2 minutes is not enough to get to know anyone on any sort of level. And I think that the pervasion of technology, people are getting fed thousands of messages a day, advertisements. You've got social media, Instagram models just shoved down people's throats every day. And a lot of times you don't even have to be looking for that content in order for it to be foisted on you. So you have to have some level of conviction to be able to resist those urges when they pop up.
You said people are not being educated. Give us some more specifics on what they should be educated in.
Well, the Bible says there's only two genders. There's man and there's woman. That sex outside of marriage is wrong. That gay marriage is wrong. That it's supposed to be between a man and a wife. There's many areas where the churches have not been properly guiding their flock as to what's right and what's wrong.
Mm-hmm. So, Becca, your top three.
I want to agree with that 100%, what he said first, but then go off of isolation is a big one, not being engaged in real relationships or even godly relationships with any other believers. So them feeling like they're on their own, but then also being on your own leads to not knowing the basics of the Bible, or you don't know the truth because you don't have that group around you supporting you, holding you accountable. So I think isolation is a big one. And also another one is probably the church not equipping and being scared to talk about things that are real in this world. Making sure that their flock is comfortable is not enough. I know it can be very terrifying to probably say what the truth is, but that's what we need, is the truth. And knowing what the truth is I think a lot of people are getting that confused.
You said not talking about things that are real going on. What are some of those things?
Like what he said with gender confusions, all of that, pronouns. It's so confusing for most people, and you have to tiptoe around that, kind of walking on eggshells with a lot of people these days because you don't want to offend anyone. So those topics and knowing what's right and wrong in God's eyes, I think, is being turned upside down these days.
So I saw one statistic where I think it was 10% of believers read the Bible once a day. So could that be a measure part of the problem?
Well, yeah, if you're not reading the Word, how can you know what he says? So, yeah, if you're not in the Word, then how do you know the truth? So really, reading your Bible and praying every day is very important.
So give me one last thing, Becca, why youth are leaving the church.
I guess I'll go with that, as they're not reading the Word and being in prayer. Most parents are probably not either, so how they probably don't know that. Is they're just going off of what they see.
Do you guys think a lot of kids, their relationship with God mirrors their parents?
Oh, yes. It's very important for kids to be led by example. They're not going to know how to be people that follow God if you're not a person that follows God yourself. So I remember as a kid seeing my dad pray in his room with the door open several times, just walking down the hallway. So that's always had a lasting effect on me.
I still see that to this day. But yes, I agree. Especially what I've seen with my friends and the kids around me, they kind of go off of their parents. It's rare, and it is possible for them to change that. But I would say having the parents that affect you in a positive way makes a big impact.
Okay, each of you get 20 seconds. Anything you want to say, starting with Sean.
You need to stay engaged with your children's lives and try to monitor and be engaged with what they're going through. Without judgment, create a safe atmosphere. Pray for your children daily and try to learn what challenges they may be facing in the day-to-day in order to lead them and guide them, and so they won't walk away once they graduate high school.
Disconnect from social media as much as possible and be in the Word more in the year 2025 in prayer.
All right. Well, thank you both, and thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org, email us at email@blazinggrace.org, or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.